love the school, and amazing things happen because when you ask and you let them know that there's a need, people will come out and say, here, this is what I want to do for you. I don't want any credit. I don't want anybody else to know. Put this money on a lunch account. I want to support this kiddo. You know, it's just amazing what people want to do and the programs that they support. So even in other school districts where, you know, maybe a program like music isn't going to go, we have people who want to support and make sure that we still have a music teacher and that we can still have band and choir because they just don't want to see music die, which I think is great. And that's, I think, is a good thing. And sometimes it's a hard thing, but in a small community, everybody knows everybody. So if you're in need, they're there to help. But I always tell the kids, not just think about the fact everybody knows your family. So if you screw up,
everybody knows what you've done.
Make sure to get you back on track too.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Nancy Popp. Nancy is the superintendent at Granton Area School District, and that's in Granton, Wisconsin. Nancy, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
So, Nancy, tell people a little bit about Granton Area School District and your role there.
So, Granton is in central Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we're a very, very small rural school. So our whole population for our whole district is about 250 kiddos. So that's 4K through 12. And we have a daycare that operates here also that's pretty important to our community because, as everyone knows, finding daycare services is very difficult. And so we have a waiting list for that too.
Wow.
But that's also very helpful to get us the kiddos who are there that move into our system because that they're already in the building and it's just helpful that way. So we have wonderful staff, pretty much a one track. So we have one teacher for each grade, which in our neighboring district, some of them have two, some of them have three, depending on the size. We have still a lot of family farms, so some that are very large in the community. And we have a lot of Amish folk who have moved in and have taken over some of those family farms too. So that's been a change that's made enrollment different for us because those kiddos go to their schools rather than
coming. they homeschool, right? They have their own
So a lot of buildings where those kids go to they kind of switch depending on which family is supporting the school for the year or for the coming year.
I don't know that much about that. I mean, I've lived around the Amish, but I've never really been like closely interacting with them. But I know that, it's a whole different way of life for sure.
It sure is. Yep. Yeah. But they're very good people in the community.
Human. They're human beings. Yeah. And just like everybody else, they're human beings. Absolutely. So you have one building or do you have more than one building?
We have one building.
Yeah.
But elementary, we have two floors in the elementary classrooms are on the bottom floor. The middle school and high school are on the upper floor. But then we share specials teachers. So music, art, phys ed, those teachers are pretty much K-12, which is, to me, is powerful because they have to be ready to go with any age child. For myself, who taught in high school English for many years, that I always find it awe-inspiring that they're ready to switch from one level to the next in, you know, just a matter of a few minutes. So
And it is definitely, you know, you can get into a little niche in education and this is my box. And then you come to someplace like that and it's like your box just got a whole lot bigger.
Yes.
Even though the number of kids that you saw might have gotten smaller, the responsibilities that you have to cover got bigger. So it's the same thing when you start a company. Believe me, I was an SLP and that's what I did. You know, and then I started my own company because that's what God wanted me to do. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And I am, 8 years later, we must have figured it out, right? We all figured it out.
Right.
So what would you say are some of the draws to Granton and why people come there and come to your school?
I Actually, one of the main things that I hear is that parents do like the fact our class sizes are smaller. So mm-hmm. we have, like, when I started teaching myself, one of my biggest classes, I had 34 kids in one class. That's pretty uncommon anymore to have something like that, especially in this area. So for us, we have any place, I would say, from maybe like 12, sometimes up to 22. It just mm-hmm. varies yeah. Based on what grade we're looking at. So like this year, I think we have 18 graduates in our senior class. Last year, we had 7. So it
wow.
can be really different.
Right.
But that is a draw because people, we are able to, you know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the people in this community support, love the school, and amazing things happen because when you ask and you let them know that there's a need, people will come out and say, here, this is what I want to do for you. I don't want any credit. I don't want anybody else to know. Put this money on a lunch account. I want to support this kiddo. You know, it's just amazing what yeah. people want to do and the programs that they support. So even in other school districts where, you know, maybe a program like music isn't going to go, we have people who want to support and make sure that we still have a music teacher and that we can still have a band and choir because they just don't want to see music die, which I think is great. And that's, I think, is a good thing. And sometimes it's a hard thing, but in a small community, everybody knows everybody. So if, mm-hmm. you're in need, they're there to help. But yeah. I always tell the kids, not just think about the fact everybody knows your family. So if you screw up.
Yeah, everybody knows what you've done.
Make sure to get you back on track too. I think yeah. that's one of the major things. And, you know, the people who are here have been here. Most of them have been here for a substantial time. And it's families that have been generational on those farms that are still here and still want to support. So I think that's been one of the draws. And I also live in a neighboring district, but my grandkids come here with me.
Oh, fun.
Just because they know, my daughter knows what's going on in the school and
right.
they know Nana's around to help. So
that's nice. That's so nice. I'm jealous. I don't have any grandkids yet. I want them. I keep telling my kids are 28, 26 and 23. And I'm like, I'm ready. And they're like, we're not.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, I get it. You know, it's like, you're not going to, I don't want them to just, you know, they need to live their own lives. It's just, I'm ready to be a Nana
yes.
and I'm not.
Yes.
So in God's time. Yes. In God's time, not mine. Right. So one of the things that we talked a little tiny bit about, which when you live in a small community, there's still challenges. So what are some of those challenges that you, I mean, there's challenges in every walk of education, but what are yours?
Some things are every school district. Mm-hmm. And some things, you know, are unique based on the size. And I always find it for myself, you get really caught up in the grind of the day to day. And sometimes as the superintendent, you don't have a person that you can say, hey, do you have 10 minutes so that I can talk through
right.
what my day has looked like? And a lot of times I find myself in that position, the sounding board for teachers or the sounding board for parents or my principal who comes in. So it's nice to go to meetings where you can find that there are other people who have the same issues and you don't feel quite so alone, or
right.
even a very large school has the same issues. It just looks a little different. For us, one of the big things that we do struggle with is getting staff. Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin went through a change, and I guess I'm a little bit biased because I would say it was a difficult change, where we went through Act 10 and we mm-hmm. wound up our systems look very different, where you didn't have the bargaining and the unions went away. And then we had a lot of kiddos that decided, hey, I'm not going to school to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. There's no money in that, which there was less money in it in the first place, but then it really looked like it wasn't very popular. And so in the universities, we just had a major shift of, you know, Like when I started, it wouldn't have been uncommon for around here, even an elementary position, you'd get 100 applicants for it. And now, now you're lucky if you get 5. Wow. And that's a substantial difference to say, okay, we want the quality, the very best person that we can get. Yet, how do you get that person when you're not getting all those applicants in? Or they do come in, they interview. We're in a spot where a lot of people will drive to go to work, and it's not uncommon to have somebody drive an hour to go to work. So if you're living here and you get a job in Eau Claire, that job in Eau Claire is going to pay more than what we're able to pay. So that's one of our downfalls is, you know, we want to have the very best for the students. And that's always my goal with my school board and principal and my hiring team, but we aren't always able to attract them and keep them. Plus, we're in a spot where, you know, young people that we do attract maybe they don't want to stay because they're looking for the ability to, you know, go to concerts or have an art museum or have different doctors that are available to them. And so they look for someplace that's closer to a city too. So that is probably one of our struggles is recruiting and retaining. But that's a struggle throughout the whole state. Funding has been very challenging. And I'm not going to lay blame on anybody, but when we look at the state and the federal governments who are helping and then withhold some help. So this last year, we lost in state aid for my school district, we lost over $300,000 in state aid, which is a huge.
Wow. When you have a school of 250 kids, that hurts a lot.
That was huge to figure out, you know, how do we explain this to the community? And then, you know, because it's nobody's fault. We can't, they can't change it. We can't change it. But how it's funded, how they fund is very, one large pot that they're putting the money in and it gets divided up and it doesn't change. And so that if there's.
I've heard that about Wisconsin. Bucket, there's a problem.
A large bucket that goes to Milwaukee. Well, that really impacts us in the middle of the stage. We don't have that pull. So that's been interesting.
There's a big difference between being supported by somebody who's walked in your shoes and someone who hasn't. At Lighthouse Therapy, our leadership team is made of experienced clinicians who've actually worked in schools. We understand the pressure you're under and what real support looks like. That's why our therapy solutions, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person, are built with you in mind. No complicated systems or red tape, just streamlined support and seasoned therapists who are ready to make a difference. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
And then the uncertainty of things with federal funding that's been coming in, that's been difficult too. A number of students, the lower, you know, people talk about enrollment. Well, we're lucky right now. I think our daycare is very much helping us because we are pulling some kids in. So we are really keeping our population growing in the elementary school. But that's, people are having fewer kids. That's just what it is. Yeah. And you can't change that either. And then people are able to go and open enroll to other schools if they're looking for something that you don't have. So that's a lot that I brought up.
Yeah.
But that's,
no,
you know.
it's the reality of what you have to deal with day to day. And year over year, it changes year over year, and you never know. That's the beauty and the downfall of education. It changes every single year.
Yes. Well, and that's what I tell people. I said, you know, you can be prepared. You know what your day, when I was teaching, I could say, well, here's what I'm going to teach today. But I was always ready to go, well, that lesson didn't hit today, or something happened in the community and you needed to jump in and do something completely different that you didn't, or your technology didn't work that day. So you always have to be prepared to do something different.
Yeah.
Something outside the box that you didn't think about.
That's education. Yes. Certainly when I'm a therapist, as a speech pathologist, the same thing, you know, it didn't matter what I had planned for that day. You get in front of that child or you get that child to log in as we do. And you know, you know, your kids, you know, your students, and you just go, whoop, not today. We're doing something different. Yeah. What's going on? You know, you can see it. And sometimes you just have to respond to the child differently too. Yeah. You know, what's going on with you today? Why do you look so sad? Whatever it is, you know.
And
so,
I think that's another piece that, as you bring up, that's really, really impactful. That's so hard for people to grasp is if you've got a child, you know, as we're talking about trauma-informed societies and being ready with mental health needs. You know, I've told some people, the kid that comes in and then is throwing things or is disrespectful to you today that normally isn't, I said, don't take that personally. You have to think about the fact that you don't know, was there a police officer at their house last night because, you know, dad got arrested and they're coming in all discombobulated, you know.
Right.
Don't hold on to those things because we have children who are in needs that are unbelievable, unbelievable that you just, you know, want to love them and help them and do everything you can for them. And again, sometimes they will share and sometimes they won't, but it's so hard and you just to find those resources too. There's definitely a shortage of those.
For sure. And you just, you do the best that you can with what you've been given. And I love that about educators, about the superintendents and the special education directors and the people that I've spoken to. And you're number 178, believe it or not. I've talked to a lot of people across the United States, and there are definitely themes in funding and the emotional piece of it. These are huge things that educators are dealing with every single day. And kids don't want to be bad. They don't intend to be bad. They don't come in to be disruptive. They're reacting to whatever is happening in their world, and their little brains don't always understand or even know how to deal with and rationalize what's happening. So unfortunately we get the brunt of it, right?
Yep.
So I get it. Wow. If you could fix just one thing in your world, just one thing, and it can't be money because we know everybody needs more money. But Nancy, if there's one thing in your sphere that you could fix and it would be gone and you would never have to deal with it again, what would that one thing be?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a hard question. This is one of my harder questions.
Yeah. But I do think that would be... Those things that are the unknowns. So if I could help every child that comes to those doors and know that they're coming in with enough sleep, that they were coming in with a full belly, that they were coming in with clean clothes, you know, so that kind of that mental health piece, that trauma sensitive piece, if I could find a way to fix that, I think that would go so far, because I would just love to see those things taken out of the formula for those children so that they would have the chance to do something different than what maybe has happened to them for generations.
Yeah.
Because they deserve that. And I get tired, as you and I talked a little bit about, you know, people who question how education works. I get tired of people doing that without that piece being one of the understandings that they have is, you know, you can't learn if your stomach is growling.
Right.
You're not going to be able to figure out how to do fractions if your stomach is growling and your head hurts because you're so hungry. And so if I could take that away, I think go a long way.
Yeah, getting kids ready to learn. It's so interesting over the years, you know, that we've become the social services, you know, education has become the social services for all of those things because we do want kids ready to learn. And in order to get ready to learn, you have to be fed, you have to be emotionally stable, you have to be clean, or not necessarily clean, but, you know, comfortable. You have to, you have to be in a comfortable place in your own body. And when you don't, you take one of those things out, and then all of the other things that were happening before you got to school, turning all of that off. I mean, even we as adults don't always turn that off. You know, it just is, it's such a hard thing. And you just, and you just look at, it breaks your heart sometimes. It really does break your heart sometimes to see them not ready and not and knowing that it's like you can do everything, you can only do what you can do, but absolutely I agree with you. If we could fix that and get them, because education is a key, it's a key to the next whatever it is that child wants to do and can become, and the potential that they can become. Yeah, so I agree with you. Well, where, Nancy, should people go if they want to learn more about Granton?
Well, we have a website. So you can, if you wanted to find out about us, it's at Granton. I think it's my computer. I got umpteen things going on here.
That's okay.
You can just type in Granton, Wisconsin, and you'll get the school website. Mm-hmm. You'll find out, you can go. We have I think the village also has a website if you wanted to look. Gives you a good background of the school. There's a lot of pictures, which I keep trying to get people to do more with, is how are we going to tell our story? And will we have the ability to go to websites nowadays? It's great because you get the ability, you get to go out there and say, hey, look at what's going on in kindergarten, and oh, look at the senior class, and look at this community project that you're doing. And that's just awesome to me. Like, we didn't have that when I was going through high school.
Yeah. No.
So that's really good, and we get a chance to show. And I think lots of school districts are doing a great job with that now. As I've, you know, over the years looked at going to different jobs, and that's one of the things you go and
go
see.
Oh, it's the first place you go is you Google it, right? And it's so funny because Google has become a verb. You know, we're going to Google it. You know, that's the beauty of the English language. You can take any noun and make it a verb. But so, and for those of you that are listening, Granton is Granton, Granton, Wisconsin. So, Nancy, thank you for joining us on Brighter Together. Yep. It's been a pleasure to have you. 2026 is just beginning. We're in January 15th of 2026, for those of you that are listening. But I just pray that you have a blessed rest of your year. And thank you so much for being on Brighter Together.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.